This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Addy Company Alive for the Quicken Loans Studios. National Mortgage Lender. Quicken Loans apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Here we go. To hour number two. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network here. Tiger Woods, you're killing me, man. After I pump you up, by the way, I stand by what I said yesterday.
Killing me, Smalls.
I'm not going to back off that. It will still equate to the greatest American sporting comeback in the history of our country once he wins a major, which he will.
About the Arnold Palmer Invitational at Bay Hill. It's okay.
But he,
we're not a major right now.
Although he wins a lot there. So he's won eight times there, so
well,
that could actually make it worse.
Wanted to spread the wealth. Wanted someone else to win there.
Or event it, or just an amazing comeback tomorrow. Give everybody a thought that they could win and then just sabotage them late.
Yeah,
could do that.
Hit like a 62.
Oh, my God. That'd be crazy. That'd be sick. But he did bogey nine. I wasn't sure. He bogeyed nine. Yep. So Tiger is plus two on the day. He is tied for 25th. He is minus two. Sagan a little bit. We'll keep an eye on that. Obviously, keep an eye on all the scores. Look who's back in studio. We need some answers. Need some info. He's all over. John Rothstein, CBS Sports College Basketball Insider, writes for FanRag as well. He's all over the place. He's pumping out articles. He's calling coaches. He's calling contacts. And our first question, aside from how are you, buddy? What's happening?
Good to see you guys.
You too, man. Sean Miller. If Arizona believes that he's truly clean, and I don't know the answer to that, and I don't pretend to, when it comes to this stuff, I use common sense, and I believe that he's dirty, and I've said that. Mm-hmm. That's just my opinion. But if Arizona believes he's truly clean from a basketball point of view,
right,
is there any grounds to fire him for this latest tournament failure?
No, not at all.
Because, okay, you say that with great confidence.
Not at all. I mean, if Arizona didn't want Sean Miller as his head coach after what surfaced a couple weeks ago, they would have parted ways with him as head coach and Lorenzo Romo would have coached the rest of the season.
Mm.
That question and answer, I think, went away when he came back and coached the rest of the Pac-12 regular season slate and coached in the Pac-12 tournament.
See, I look at what he's done, and I just want to make sure I don't get this wrong here. And listen, we know that Sean could coach.
Yeah,
he did this at Xavier. Mm-hmm. I mean, what was it, 5 years at the A-10, in the A-10, three
yep.
regular season tie, whatever he
went
did at Xavier.
Went to one Final Four there.
Won a ton of games. 9 years at Zona. I guess my issue is when... And I don't know if that's necessarily fair because it is random. There's a randomness to the tournament. I understand that, John. But, you know, when you average basically 30 wins a season, as he has for the last 6 or 7 years, and you're not going deeper with frequency, I don't know that the regular season success is commensurate with what you should expect.
All right, well, let's go back then and look at what Sean Miller has done at the University of Arizona. He went to 3 Elite Eights at the University of Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
1 Elite Eight in 2011 came down to the last possession, and Jamel Horn for Arizona missed a shot on the final possession, one shot away from the Final Four. In 2014, he takes Arizona to a regional final after Brandon Ashley, one of their starters, broke his foot. And still, on the last possession, had a chance to beat Wisconsin, and then Nick Johnson got called for an offensive foul. In 2015, Sean Miller goes to an Elite Eight, and Arizona runs into an avalanche in the second half when Decker and Kaminsky and company make an excess of double-digit three-point shots. And then, that doesn't take into account going to a Sweet 16 in 2013, losing to Ohio State on the last possession when LaQuinton Ross makes a three, and also losing to Xavier last year in a situation where the game also went to the last possession. I can tell you this. It was very important for Sean Miller to be the head coach of Arizona, just like it was very important initially for Rick Pitino to stay the head coach at the University of Louisville because it was good for business. Arizona basketball has to flourish. Arizona basketball needs to have fans in the seats. And Arizona is well aware that before Sean Miller and after Lute Olson, there was some tense times in Tucson because it felt like the brand and the product were going on a downward trajectory.
Yeah, but
so
now,
Arizona made the decision to retain him for that reason.
But, John, the narrative now shifts to he can't win in the big moments. And when you get beat by Buffalo – now, maybe you're going to tell me more about Buffalo than I need to know. But they lost by 21 to Buffalo. in the first round.
I mean,
no question. But I'm just telling you this. In 2013, the narrative was that Sean Miller couldn't win the big one.
Did they have the best player in the country that year?
That year, they didn't have the best player in the country, but they had Aaron Gordon, who was, what, the third or fourth player in the draft. They had Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. They had Nick Johnson. So in 2013, I did an interview for CBS with Sean Miller, and I asked him, how often do you think about going to a Final Four? And he said, probably every 10 or 15 minutes. This was in 2013. So nobody is more aware of the elephant in the room than Sean Miller. But if Arizona, based on everything that transpired, was hesitant about him being their basketball coach, they would not have retained him after he sat out that game against Oregon.
Good point. Tell me about Georgia. Tom Crean decides to take this job. Mm-hmm. At least it looks like he's going to take this job at Georgia.
I just listened to his press conference.
Oh, he did take it. Yeah. So why is this the right next move for him?
Well, for Georgia's perspective, you keep pace with the SEC because the SEC has continued to add coaches with high pedigree. Ben Howland at Mississippi State, Avery Johnson at Alabama, Rick Barnes at Tennessee. The interesting thing about Georgia, and a high prominent Division I coach told me this a couple weeks ago, if Billy Donovan went to Georgia and didn't go to Florida, Georgia would be Florida. And this is why, and it's Tiki, this is right in your wheelhouse because it's in the same type of region. Georgia is similar to Maryland in the sense where you may not have to get on a plane to recruit. You can get to in Atlanta in between an hour and an hour and a half. If you're good in Atlanta, you're going to be good. And the academic requirements are not nearly as stiff as what you see at Georgia Tech. Everybody in college basketball has always felt that Georgia's a sleeping giant. But I just look right now at the landscape of the SEC and the coaches that are in this league. Mm-hmm. Like, this league got eight teams in the NCAA tournament. You look at this league, too. LSU and Mississippi State are playing in the NIT. And this week, and I wrote about this in my column today, Tom Crean went to Georgia, and Kermit Davis, who has won games in the last two NCAA tournaments.
Look who he beat, by the way.
Look who he beat, is at Ole Miss. So think about the SEC right now. It's a basketball league.
Oh, here we go. Okay.
Well, they're trying to make it a basketball
exactly.
league.
Yeah, John Rothstein with us here in studio, which is nice. Next segment as well, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. John, our College Hoops insider, fan reg as well. Must follow on Twitter. You know, you and I were talking about this before we came on the air during the commercial break, but I want to bring the Danny Hurley conversation to the air. Mm-hmm. You know, the general, and Gary Parish talked about this as well, the general consensus is that it's either UConn or Pitt. Makes sense. I mean, at some point, you're probably going to have to jump from Rhode Island. We saw today, mass exodus, if they get their wish. Everybody looking to get their release from Pitt. Okay.
But is it a big story if a team has a mass exodus that went 0-19 in ACC?
Not really. No, I'll tell you what, John.
Because I was told from people that obviously were involved, Pitt was going to need a new roster anyway because half those players aren't good enough.
Well, here's the thing. If I'm Hurley or whomever, I almost think it's more appealing that there's nobody else's, I would never use the word trash, but leftover players.
Well, also, they ask for the release. Asking for a release is, and I don't want to say you see this with every time a head coach is hired, but coaches always deal with players that are disgruntled and, I might be out of here. And then all of a sudden, you know, when the press conference comes and you have one team meeting, 90% of those kids have a different theme.
Yeah.
So,
No, that's fair. Yeah. Listen, kids will change their thoughts and their minds as often as the weather changes. Right. They have to expect it.
Right.
But my question is this. If you're Danny Hurley, is there a job next year? Because UConn's got great pedigree. Yeah. It's in a it's not the Big East anymore. And Pitt, a great conference, but an uphill battle from where they are. If he holds out for one more year, is there a more prominent job that might open next season?
Well, let's right now look at all the potential scenarios right now for Dan Hurley, who has made Rhode Island, given the landscape of things, the flagship program in the Atlantic 10. Mm-hmm. There is nobody right now who has seen their stock rise more over the last week than Dan Hurley, and there's nobody in college basketball in terms of coaches that is in a better position. I am told that Pitt is willing to pay a head coach in excess of $3 million potentially to be their next head coach. Pitt is not the same job that it was in the Big East. You're in the ACC. It's going to be very difficult to build a perennial contender in the conference, especially when you consider the fact that the geographic footprint that was used to recruit in the old Big East is really no longer available because you don't play at Rutgers, Seton Hall, St. John's, Villanova, or UConn. With that said, Dan Hurley also made a hire on his staff last year that was the former Quinnipiac head coach and former top UConn assistant to Jim Calhoun, who is Tom Moore. That hire, obviously, if you're connecting the dots right now, is a direct link to the situation at UConn. And I am told by a lot of people close to the situation that if Dan Hurley were to take, obviously, the UConn job, he would embrace the idea of having Jim Calhoun around because he lived through that with his father. It's a very similar situation. And this is another thing you have to understand.
I miss Jim Calhoun coaching.
No, the best.
I love that.
The
college
best.
Basketball misses
the,
him.
The best.
But, he was great.
But this is another thing, you know, I think we need to look at. The American Conference has three teams in the NCAA tournament. Two have advanced. This league got three teams in the NCAA tournament, okay, without getting any mileage out of UConn, without getting any mileage out of Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
So if all of a sudden your brand name programs can be in a situation where, for all intents and purposes, you're getting mileage out of them, this is a 4 or 5 bid league, which is equivalent to the Pac-12, which is close to the Big East. It's not like dealing with what you're dealing with in the ACC. Now, here's another thing. Dan Hurley, because of what he's going to have thrown on his table by Pitt or UConn, is going to put pressure on Rhode Island if it wants to maintain the same caliber of basketball in the same way he's going to put pressure on Rhode Island, the same way Shaka Smart used to put pressure on VCU mm-hmm. when he turned down Illinois and Marquette and jobs like that, and the same way Archie Miller put pressure on Dayton when he turned down Marquette and Wake Forest. So even if Dan Hurley wanted to, he could pass these opportunities, wait for a greener pasture, double his salary potentially, and return a Rhode Island team that would be anchored by Jeff Doughton, Fats Russell, and Cyril Langevin.
What job would be open theoretically next season?
Look, and also, does Rhode Island have those resources, Jeff?
That's the million-dollar question right now. But
probably like a $3 million.
Got to get that booster.
Look, I'm just giving you all scenarios, but he has put himself in a position where he's probably going to have his pick over a job at UConn or a job at Pittsburgh, or he can stay in the Atlantic 10 and do what Greg Marshall did at Wichita State and do what Shaka Smart did at VCU before going to Texas. And I bet you if Shaka was thinking about it again, he might have stayed at VCU instead of going to Texas. Mm. And what Archie Miller did at Dayton. And that's the thing. You look at what happened when you're talking about resources. Do you ever think that we'd be talking about Wichita State paying a coach $3.3 million a year?
No.
The game's changed. The landscape's changed.
So that's something, you know, all things.
You still haven't given me a name, though, for next year, maybe. A big school.
Well, you know, somebody told me a long time ago it's never a good idea to speculate on speculation, so I'm not going to speculate on speculation.
That's what we do here.
I'm just giving you the facts.
All right. He's getting all worked up. Look at him. We got to hit neutral for one second.
Right.
We know you got a million things to say, and you'll get a chance to get it out there, we promise.
You mentioned Memphis. Penny, it's happening?
Look, I reported 2 days ago that Penny Hardaway was working on a contract with Memphis. So you guys know how this works. Things could fall apart at the last minute, but barring anything unforeseen, Penny Hardaway, a.k.a. Butch McRae, as he was in Blue Chips, is going to be the next head coach at the University of Memphis.
And how's it going?
This is something that I want to say right now because I think it needs to be said. I understand the politics involved in this and obviously, you know, the importance of filling FedEx Forum and putting people in seats and recruiting at a higher level. You just fired a coach that won 21 games, and his point guard got hurt, and maybe his best player in the last month of the season, a coach that's won a national championship, and a coach that has taken five teams to the NCAA tournament. And I will say this, the classiest person, among the top five classiest people I've ever come across in my life.
He's a star.
Yeah. And you're firing him. Somebody's never coached at the college level before. I understand the optics. Mm-hmm. I understand the importance of having a famed alum come back and coach and what comes with that. But this is a major, major risk with no guarantees whatsoever that it's going to work out. And PR-wise, it's going to be well. Once Memphis loses that first bye game, it's going to be a different breed of cattle.
Although we thought Ewing was going to lose some of those bye games. He didn't lose Ewing.
Good basketball
Patrick
coach.
Patrick can coach.
He is a good basketball coach.
We said that a few times. I'm happy you said that about Tuppy Smith as well. Teague and I echo the same
he's
thing.
He's an unbelievable person.
What's he going to do? Where's he going to land?
He might retire at this point, right?
I mean, if you were Tubby and you've coached all these years and you get 10 to walk away, I mean, go to Miami.
You know what, though? It's not about the money. You love coach.
You love throwing
something on the grease board. You love going to the gym. It's about coaching.
I hear you.
Know what I mean? You know that.
I hear you.
All right, let's get a quick time now. Coming up next, we want to get all the coaching news out of the way. The bracket.
Mm-hmm.
What happened last night?
Yeah, what happened today? What happened to John's bracket?
Somebody had Arizona, so did I.
Well, look, I mean, you think about it.
Oh, here comes the excuse.
The teams that have the best pros are going to have a chance to go the furthest in the tournament.
The guy who's
the best probably college player in terms of his ability as a freshman in 25 years was on the team.
Well, you know what?
Sometimes those pros are thinking about going pro instead of thinking about the NCAA tournament.
No question.
But we should learn our lesson. A team whose best players are big If you fall behind, you can't control the game.
Good point.
That's what college is all about, the guards. Bad matchup.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.